dickheads!
Try!
Give me a break.
Whoa!
Where are we?
I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of dungeons and...
dickheads!
Tonight, we are going to get your new character introduced.
Okay.
So that it makes sense when they suddenly show up.
How are we going to introduce the character? Are we just going to tell you about it? Or are we going to have a scene where Daniel is at the cafe that he's taken over?
So essentially, Chris, you are late today to your funeral.
Right.
What was the religious affiliation of Gordon?
Vegan.
That was his religion, was it? How would he wish for his death to be commemorated? What sort of ceremony would he want?
I don't know. I don't think he'd have stuck with an orc religion, would he? He was only a half orc anyway. I'm not sure he had a particular religion. I think he'd like whatever had the least carbon footprint. Which, given that he was incinerated, is probably much against his wishes.
A druidic ceremony.
Maybe he was an orcist. It's like a humanist, but for orcs.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe one of those things where they kind of put you in a sack and plant a tree, and the tree grows into you.
We can do something sort of druidic out in the woods, outside
some hippie bollocks and, like that.
Yeah, exactly, that kind of whack. Okay, so, in which case... Chris, it's up to you whether you want to say anything beyond just the name of your character, but essentially all of you have received a missive by courier inviting you to commemorate the passing of Gordon Humperdinck, who was tragically cut down in his prime by a... shall we say, errant fireball?
I mean, there must be some mystery, because surely he did get incompetently dumped in the sea.
This bit is not mentioned in the letter, but you are invited to commemorate his passing. Graham and Dan, as his former associates, you had been previously listed to be invited to his passing ceremony, should it ever occur. And obviously, Chris, as his half-brother, you have also...
Oh, that's given a bit of the game away.
Well, yes. But so obviously the characters don't know that.
So. Is this the epilogue to the prologue?
Essentially, yes.
So this is episode 0.5?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Or episode 00. The letters have gone out to you, amongst some other people that he knew in his life, which Chris can fill in as appropriate. And the ceremony itself is to take place in the woods, just outside Waterdeep. There's a circle of druids out there that do carbon-neutral, vegan-friendly death ceremonies where...
But the catering is fucking awful.
Oh, it's appalling. It's
just
like
bits of bark.
Cakes made of twigs. And, you know, they basically do, as you said, Chris, shove you in a sack, bury you in the ground and plant a tree on top, and then invite people to somehow celebrate that.
Mm-hmm. To wee on it so it's well watered.
Well, that's entirely up to you, Chris.
As is the way.
Do they plant a sapling, or could I feasibly climb the tree?
No, it would be a sapling.
I mean, I'm not
horseshit. I fucking hate this.
They've just got like a trail of druids lugging a full sized tree that they just put down on top of the grave.
This is not what he would have wanted.
Well, I mean, there are limitations to what you can feasibly get, especially
what
when
can Dan bothered to do
all of your money, so your estate has nothing to pay for the funeral.
You said I wasn't allowed to nick all his money.
You did nick all his money.
He counted it all out for you.
You literally took all of the money off his corpse.
Why did he have all his money on him?
Because
where else are you going to put
it? It's on your character sheet.
Because banking is a seriously limited technology in the world of Dungeons & Dragons.
Where is all of your money right now, Dan?
Well, I presume it's somehow invested with my legitimate business associates.
No, you're in real life. Where's your actual money right now? Mine's all in my sock. Is yours not?
No.
In your sock or up your bum. Those are the two best places to store all of your money.
Mm.
You aren't asking for trouble.
Well, possibly.
So, you've all been invited. The ceremony takes place at dawn, which is a right pisser, but that's when they do it. So, you've got to deal with that. Yeah, I know.
Fucking hell.
Is it like dawn this time of year, where dawn is a vaguely sociable hour? Or like dawn in summer, where it's like 4 in the fucking morning?
That is a very good question, Dan. Let's find out. Oh, fucking hell, let's roll my dice on the floor.
I think he's got those like weather dice that children learn on.
It is February.
Okay, so it's not too bad. Getting up at dawn in February to go to the fucking woods. It's going to be freezing.
You're a fucking monk.
I'm not very good at it.
Well, no, that's true.
You're not even good enough to actually be a monk,
Yeah.
No.
You just claim to be a monk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've just got it on your business cards.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is about sort of 5:45 in the morning. It is chilly, but not freezing cold. Mist hangs in the air as you kind of trudge out individually to... or unless Graham and Dan, I mean, I don't know if you want to go together.
Well, I haven't seen Dan for 6 months, so it'll be nice to see him. Oh, Dan, hi. I haven't seen you for such a long time.
So I presume you're wearing, like, monk shit.
Yeah, I'm wearing one of those orange robes.
Oh, God.
My head is shaved.
What on earth has happened to you?
Oh, you know, we got to Waterdeep. I got chatting with these guys. I was in a bit of a way, and they took me into their monastery, and I eschewed all my worldly possessions, and they taught me the way of spirituality.
I've
renounced violence, and I'm just trying to live a good life, and for at least for a few hundred years until John Connor is born, then I will kill him.
I mean, that's fair. Okay, let's not talk about that, but sure.
Yeah. So anyway, how have you been?
Mostly good. Mostly good.
So sad what happened to Chris, isn't it? I heard he got incinerated by a fireball.
Yeah, I heard that too.
God, how could that have happened? What was he even doing at the docks? I don't understand.
I mean, it's a mystery. I don't think we'll ever solve it.
I mean, surely somebody must have investigated and found out who had cast that fireball.
Well, I think whoever cast that fireball had sort of cleared up after themselves quite well, so they couldn't really tell.
We could form a detective agency and try and solve the mystery, couldn't we? I think we owe him that, don't we?
I mean, we could. It doesn't sound like much fun, you know.
I heard he'd been running a vegan cafe.
Oh, he did. I went and had a banana muffin there. It was actually rather nice.
Was it nice? I should try his banana muffins, but I never did.
Yeah.
I've heard they were good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was vegan, so it wasn't fantastic, but it was nice.
Well, no. It was nice. It wasn't delicious. It was nice.
Exactly. Yeah.
A couple of the other monks had been down there. I just never got around to it, but now I'll never get a chance.
Very sad.
Anyway, should we go over here and watch the funeral?
I think that's starting. That seems
sensible. So yeah, you approach the clearing in the forest, and there are half a dozen druids. You know the kind. You know the type: long beards, unkempt hair, robes, look like they've never been washed. That kind of thing. And they are standing in a sort of semicircle, and there's a hole that's been prepared in the ground, and a sack just kind of at the end of the hole. And there's, you know, maybe a dozen people milling around.
Mm.
You don't recognise any of them, but you just assume former associates, friends, maybe family of Chris's. Never really talked much about his family life and where he'd come from and who his friends were. At least not during the brief period that you were burning down that village.
I mean, certainly if he had, I wasn't listening.
Well, absolutely. Chris, you are amongst the crowd.
Cool.
Milling around. And you all kind of, you know, do your kind of milling around, making awkward small talk. And on the stroke of 6 o'clock, the druids call for attention and gather everyone round and quieten them. They do some chanting, and then one of them steps forward and says, I would like to welcome you all to the funeral ceremony for Gordon Humperdinck, who was sadly taken from us in the prime of his life and has requested that he be buried in an environmentally sustainable fashion as we provide. Now, I would like to ask his half-brother, Erdan, to say a few words before we begin the ceremony.
So, I'm going to step forward, and I'm quite an interesting looking character. I'm a half elf, but I'm rather portly for a half elf. And
out of curiosity, is it your mum or your dad that has been going around shagging anything that moves?
Well, I haven't decided this whether our shared dad is a top shagger or if our mum is a total slag. And what I'm doing here is trying to deconstruct the patriarchy and those kind of value basis that we make.
Maybe your shared mum was a top shagger. Good on her.
Maybe. All right. Maybe. Who knows? Like yeah. Like Ryan Corrigan's granny.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not really sure. Does that matter?
No, I was just curious. It's just an it's not a common kind of pairing.
Is the head druid interrogating him?
No. Yeah. Who are you? Purely a DM, curiosity.
Right. The druid has said, "Wait a minute, you're a half elf, and he was a half orc. What the hell is going on here?"
I mean, the druid is thinking that, but has not said anything to that effect.
Right.
He is standing by, respectfully waiting for you to deliver your eulogy.
So I'm going to step forward, and I am an unusual looking chap because I'm a half elf, but I'm a little bit more portly than you'd expect. And I have, it looks, even though it's very early, like maybe I've been drinking a little bit. I'm not that steady on my feet. And alongside me is a giant crab, which marks me out as being a little bit unusual.
Is the crab doing anything?
He's my companion, because I am a ranger, but I'm a beastmaster.
Does it look like you could feasibly ride the crab?
I'm probably a little bit too fat to ride the crab.
Okay.
Unless it was in water, and then it could be like a weird dolphin ride.
You could like a float.
Yeah. So I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to look a little bit sad, but then I'm going to do a big beer burp and grin a little bit at everyone. And I'm going to say, oh no, this is right sad, isn't it? I didn't really know my brother Gordon very well, but we'd been estranged for quite a few years. He left home when I was about 10, but we'd recently got back in touch because I've been at university at Waterdeep, whatever it is, I don't know. Another detail is I'm wearing one of those ridiculous big hoodies with University of Waterdeep on it.
Is it the actual,
over all of my stuff?
Is it the actual University of Waterdeep, or is it Waterdeep Polytechnic?
It's a bit of a thorny subject. It used to be a polytechnic, but
okay,
now it is a
right.
Now fine. It is a full university.
Yes, technically, I get you.
So I'm kind of mumbling my words a little bit. A little bit unsteady on my feet, and I say it's. We had got back in touch because we were both in Waterdeep, and that was really nice, the time we spent together here. And I'm quite sad about how he died. And I think one of the real highlights was that whenever he spoke to me, he spoke about his new boyfriend Daniel and all the lovely times they spent together and how much they loved each other. And I think it's really brave of Daniel. I don't know him, I've not met him, but I hear that he's carrying on running the cafe, which is
really were you two gabos? Were you bumming?
Really lovely sentiment.
Why is he saying this?
Did I actually successfully get to take over the cafe? Because I thought that I didn't.
No, Chris left it to you in the fact that he had the deeds to the building on his person that somehow survived the fireball. Okay. So
and
Dan, were you two fucking?
No.
And I think.
I mean,
now...
I fucked him. Don't get me wrong, but not in that way.
Jesus,
Chris, can you make a perception roll, please?
I'd have to find some dice.
Well, that would be helpful. That is part of the way this game works.
I didn't really think we'd have to do dice and things.
At a funeral.
No. Who does dice at a funeral? I mean, that's really unreasonable. So, in art mirroring life, I'm already a bit drunk as well. I'm a method actor.
I mean, good.
I would never get... drunk while playing Dungeons & Dragons. This is very unprofessional.
No, you would get drunk beforehand and just continue through.
Yes, yes. You can't get drunk on cans of Copperberg because they're tiny. It's like a thimble.
Natural one.
Yeah, you're quite drunk and sad and you don't notice anything that's going on around you. Like, you're completely oblivious to what anyone else is doing. You're just... very much focusing on yourself and what you're saying.
Yeah.
And anyway, not to fall over.
It's really sad, but I think what he'd want is for us to get really, really drunk. And if anybody wants to join me afterwards, then they can play with my companion crab, who's called Brandon. and we can go and have a drink together, because I'd really like to get to know his friends, and I'd like some help in maybe finding out what happened to him. And he said before about being betrayed, and he wouldn't ever tell me what had happened, but I'd really like to find out and maybe sort that out for him, put it right.
Is there some drink within sort of easy reach at the moment?
No, there's not like a buffet table or anything. It's just a clearing in the woods. If you're really lucky, like the druids might have some moonshine somewhere, but it's probably unlikely. This is supposed to be, you know, a bare bones, environmentally sustainable, zero carbon footprint, bury a man in the ground and stick a tree on top of him.
Yeah, so anyway, okay. like that priesty man said, life is like the seasons in constant change, and we must change with it. So, let's do some shots and stick this dead guy in the hole. Oi, oi! And then I'm quite pleased with myself. I think what I think is that people are quite pleased with what I've said, and they're quite impressed. But I think maybe that's not accurate, and actually, people are a bit scornful.
I'm going to whisper to Graham. I'm going to enjoy crushing his soul.
This guy's absolutely twatted.
He really is.
And so I'm going to kind of poddle on off and go and wee on a... No, I'm going to wee on the tree, because I think he'd want that to make sure it was well watered. And then I'm also sick on it, which I think is probably not the right thing to do.
Yeah. It's all nutrients, isn't it?
And... yeah, then I'm going to kind of poddle off and sit on a bench.
Okay. So the druid stands up again, or steps forward again, rather, and says, "Thank you, Erdan, for those lovely words."
And I'm going to go, "Druid, druid, druid, oi, 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 oi."
Druid just completely implacable, doesn't give a shit. And he... bit more chanting from the other druids in the background as he kind of picks up the sack and just sort of hefts it a bit, slings it over his shoulder, clearly struggling a bit because he wasn't used to, you know, lugging orcs around, or half orcs at least.
Is there enough of Chris's corpse to actually heft?
Oh, I mean, bones, mostly bones.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, that were sort of dredged out of the harbour.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
And, you know,
maybe a boot.
Yeah.
A shopping trolley.
It says, yeah. "And we now commit Gordon's body to the earth," and just kind of chucks the sack into the hole. And two of the other druids kind of step forward and shovel the earth over the top of him. And we plant a sapling so that new life might grow from the sad passing of our friend, another druid.
So, out of game, I'd like to say to Dan, can you please set fire to the tree?
I can't think of a good reason to do so.
It'd be funny.
I mean, yeah, but I'm also with a purpose, you know.
Okay.
And so one of the druids from the back kind of comes forward with the little sapling and makes a little hole and puts it in and, you know, covers the earth over again. And the head druid says, I would like to thank you all for coming. There, in accordance with Gordon's wishes, there will be no food or drink, but I believe that a buffet table will be put on at his cafe for those who wish to continue to celebrate his life.
I mean, and you realise there is zero chance that I funded a buffet table at the cafe.
Well, I mean, that's very much your problem as somebody who will have to explain to people, unless, of course, you take the other option, as the druid continues. And obviously, Erdan has made the generous offer for anybody who wishes to have a drink in Gordon's honour. Bid you all good day. And the druids turn and they kind of shuffle off into the trees.
I've got a question out of character.
Mm-hmm.
Was Gemma invited to this funeral?
No.
She wasn't? Why not?
No. Because after she fucked off with all your money, you, I presume, would have updated your will. So
I think I still would have I think I still would have invited her.
Okay. Well also she's
too busy shitting, so she can't.
I mean, I'm trying to. I will avoid knowing this in my new character. But if I did know it, I'd be even more annoyed that she was invited and didn't come.
I see. Okay. Well, anyway, so the druids have gone. Some of the people kind of start to wander off in the direction of the docks. Well, the gate that is sort of the docks gate of the. As you can hear the sound of the docks.
I take it we've moved there now, have we?
Yes. Quick change of locale. You approach the southern gate of the city and kind of along the harbour and the docks.
And the train line.
Yeah,
very authentic.
Runs through the centre of Waterdeep. And you've got a couple of options. You could go to the cafe as requested. You could also go to the pub.
So are we three together at this point?
Well, there's kind of everyone's just
kind of...
We've
gone back with the whole crowd.
Together,
okay,
yeah.
So I would like to seek out Erdan and introduce myself as a former colleague of Chris.
Okay, well, I'm kind of like in my own little blissful world.
Oh,
I've got.
Hi,
you think maybe
it,
I've got a hip flask?
Erdan, is it?
It is.
Hi.
Who are you?
Hi. My name's. I can't remember. What did I say my name was? Oh, it says G-Force on the character sheet. I don't really have a name. I'm just known as the T-800. But I used to work with your half brother. He never mentioned you. I didn't know he had a half brother.
Mm.
Well, we went very close, but we'd recently got back in touch.
Oh, well, that's nice. And I haven't seen him for about 6 months.
Are you sure
you're
a T-800? Because he used to say something about hanging around with a T-1000. Is that not you?
Definitely not, no, because I would be made out of mimetic polyalloy, then liquid metal.
Are you sure? Because I think he did say that his mate was made out of that first one.
No, he might have got confused. I'm actually metal endoskeleton under living tissue.
Oh, okay. Well, how do you know him?
Oh, well, I didn't know him that well. We just sort of met once and then went and went on this quest to fuck up a warlord, and we had a lovely afternoon in a pub.
He's told me about that.
Oh, did he?
Because that's where he met Daniel, his boyfriend.
It is, yeah. Oh, well, there might have been a bit of a mix-up, because...
I'm not his boyfriend. Also,
Well, you're Daniel.
This is Daniel, yeah.
He told me all about you. It's so nice to meet you. And I grab his hand, and I'm shaking his hand, and you can tell that it's a bit... You can tell that it's a little bit clammy, and I hope that Daniel's thinking about that time that I was a little bit inaccurate with weeing and sicking. near the corpse.
Mm.
I am literally dodging the hand.
Yeah, you can't. Okay, you can't. Fine. I'm very insistent on shaking it.
Well, what kind of test should you do for this?
And I
clean my hands.
So, Chris, make an.
Sounds like dexterity to me.
Check.
Bloody hell.
Why is he making an acrobatics check?
Because he's trying to grab your hand to shake it.
Dexterity saving throw. Oh,
acrobatics.
I got 20 something.
21.
Oh, hang on. What did I actually get?
What did you actually get?
Well, I rolled an 18. I can't remember what my dexterity is. It's probably not that high. Yeah,
19. Your dex saving is 2, so.
Yes!
You fail to.
He puts up a good fight, but very.
Chris manages to somehow, in his sort of.
It'd be like.
I'll clean my hand with prestidigitation afterwards.
It's not just any handshake, though. It's like the Donald Trump handshake. It's really awkward, and I'm pulling him all over the place.
I'm sensing that there's a little.
You have a spell called Shocking Grasp, Chris.
I'm sensing there's a little bit of tension between you, so I'm gently placing my hands on both your forearms and saying, "Come, friends, let's go and celebrate the life of our friend Gordon."
Yeah. And I say that's a great idea, and I kind of wriggle myself so that I'm in the middle of them, and I'm giving them both a big hug. I want to find out all about the wonderful adventures you had with my lovely brother.
Okay, I'm going to tentatively put my arm around him, but. Recoil slightly just how moist his clothing is.
Yeah.
So I think probably the most appropriate of the taverns in the docks for you to for Erdan to frequent and probably to lead you to is the Grog House, which is just like the lowest kind of common denominator pub that just sells cheap, awful beer for sailors and other kind of people passing through to just get absolutely wankered on. They don't have any kind of accommodation or entertainment or anything. It's just, they don't care if you just kind of get drunk and throw up in a corner. That's fine. They'll just kick you out when it comes to closing time and just kind of
disinfect the entire. Have you made this pub up?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just going. I mean, I've embellished slightly. But.
It's beaten the yeah. I say, come on, this is a great pub. This is one of my favourites. Let's go in.
Oh, fine.
Okay, I stand back and let the two of them enter.
Okay, and, Dan, please make a dexterity saving throw.
11.
Okay, as you walk in through the door, you just about avoid getting hit in the face by a tankard of ale that's thrown in your direction and lands on the street outside.
And I'm going to say, Nigel, you knobber, these are my mates. Don't go throwing beers at them.
Mm.
And a man just kind of barely lifts his head from the table and looks at you as if he's trying to figure out how many of you there are, because there are currently at least 3, and then kind of reaches for his beer and realises that he's just thrown it at the door.
Ah, Nigel, you muppet. Right, so I know this place really well, and I'm going to swagger on up to the bar, and I'm going to say, hello, Treacle, how are you?
And the barman turns around and looks at you. It's like, fuck's sake, Erdan, just, what do you want? How many?
I'd like 4 pints of mead, please.
Oh no, brother, I would just have some water, thank you. Thank you for your kind offer, but I will just have some water, thank you.
Right, and I'm going to look at Graham, and there's going to be this flash of anger in my eyes, and I'm going to say, you drank with my brother, and on his funeral, I want you to drink with me.
Did we ever actually drink with him?
Yes, you got very, very drunk.
I did pretty much nothing but drink with him.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fair. That's
right.
Fair.
So I just like to
register my disapproval at not getting that tankard of sobriety right now.
Well, tough.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
So I want to persuade him. because I feel really strongly about this.
Okay. Make a persuasion roll, and Graham, it's a charisma saving throw if you want to try and not be persuaded.
Yeah, I will try and not be persuaded. Charisma saving throw. Oh dear, it's only 5.
No, 5's good.
I...
5 is not good.
Oh, he's rolled a 5, sorry. I thought he had a 5 bonus.
I rolled a natural 1 again.
Nice.
So you... do your best to persuade Graham with what you think is an incredible argument that cannot in any way be defeated, even by somebody who has sworn off all alcohol. But essentially all Graham hears is just a slurred mumble of gibberish, and your argument has no effect on him whatsoever.
I do want to point out, yeah. Do you want to drink the water here? Because at least the alcohol is sterile.
Look, if it could be a bottle of water, then he'll prove. I'm only going to sip at it anyway. It'll be fine. Mm. So I'm just going to be kind and courteous to Chris, and I say, no, I'm sorry, brother. Your half brother, he would have understood. He saw me at my rock bottom, and he knew that I was trying to get well. And he supported me in this.
Boring. I mean, right, more for me. Whatever.
One would be too many, and 1,000 would never be enough.
I say, right, Trinkle.
This is very different
right,
than
Trinkle.
New side of you, G-Force.
Yeah, I've become a hippie monk, innit?
This boring old T-1000, he wants some water, but more for me. So I'm going to put a thing of me down by Nigel, because I like Nigel,
so I'm
really.
I'm going to just
and
speak to
find
the barman...
Table in the corner.
While Chris is pointing the other direction, I'm just going to say to the barman, Namaste. My friend here has... I mean, I know it's only about 6:30 in the morning, but he's...
Oh, shit, it's morning, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. He's started as he meant to go on. Could you please just water his drink down a little bit, and we'll say no more.
There's no way Treacle would agree to that. Me and him are... we're like total bros.
Are you really?
Yep.
Can you make a persuasion roll, please?
Yes. Where does persuasion... Oh, I found it. Oh, 4.
The barman looks at you and looks over at Erdan, currently trying to get Nigel's head off the table far enough to actually be able to talk to his face. And
sorry, who is Nigel?
Nigel, old Nige.
Yeah,
he's
Nigel.
A top bloke.
Oh, no, sorry, Nigel. Right, yeah, with you.
Nigel.
Moves a bit closer to you and sort of whispers, look, if I water this down anymore, it's basically just water.
Okay, I understand, but maybe after a couple you could announce that it's you've got to close to muck out the
Nigel,
yeah. and I'll take him somewhere. No offence, but less horrific.
He says, "No offence taken. We pride ourselves on our horror."
Thank you, good sir.
Right, I'm a bit bored. I'm a bit bored.
He turns away from you, just kind of shaking his head, and goes back to cleaning glasses, which is a totally futile endeavor because the cloth that he's using to clean them is much dirtier than the glasses, and he never gives the glasses out to anyone anyway because they would just get smashed. So they only get wooden tankards.
So I'm a bit bored now that like nobody's paying me attention. So I'm gonna kind of like waddle on up because I put the drinks on a table in the corner, and I'm gonna come and I say, "Come on, come and sit down." And I say to old Treacle behind the counter, I say, "Treacle, I've forgotten the creme de menthe for Brandon the giant crab." And Treacle, he knows about this, and he says, "Oh no, I've done it already." And I look down and I can see that Brandon the giant crab is there having his creme de menthe, so he's happy.
Okay. Good.
And they feed him biscuits like dogs in good pubs here.
Chris, are you role playing as me?
That's a good question. I hadn't considered that.
Just a bit worried, that's all.
No, just
a bit worried about how I present to other people.
Right, okay, well, so intentionally, but, you know, maybe...
Yeah, maybe something on a subconscious level. Yeah, it could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you ever call, like, Big Fat Barman Treacle?
Almost exclusively.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing it.
So I'm going to
It's good thing you have such a punchable face, Chris.
I'm going to say to Erdan, so did you hear how Gordon got all blown to shit by a massive fireball?
Right, so at this point I suddenly seem very slightly sober, which is sort of Oliver Reed drunk. Slightly sober is Oliver Reed drunk, and I'm going to look a little bit fiery, and I'm going to say no, but I'd like to find out.
I'm going to say I would love to find who did that to them and tell them that I forgive them and I love them. And it's...
So I kind of have news on that front.
What?
Well, so I was with Gordon when he died.
Of course, Daniel, because you were such great, great friends. And I'm going to wink to Daniel because I've kind of picked up that he doesn't really want to admit the relationship.
I haven't seen
him
in 6 months.
And I'm gonna give him a... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
If you feel you have to hide, then I'm not going to out you. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, you'll come to understand more in a bit. We were stealing some stuff back off. Oh yeah, that thing he told you about, the betrayal, that was by one of our former.
What? Daniel. Okay, wait, Daniel. I deliberately said I didn't know, so that we might make a better long-term adventure. So if you tell me now, then that kind of spoils that, because I'm going to feel duty-bound to try and instantly kill Gemma. Have you kind of thought that through?
Why are you going to try and kill Gemma?
Because she betrayed his half-brother.
Betrayed his half-brother and stole a fortune. From
we've managed to get ourselves out of a situation where Chris is constantly trying to kill Gemma. Yeah. By you killing him.
Okay, right, and 3, 2, 1, we're back in the room.
It's
like on a racing game when you crash and you press the reset button, right, it just rewinds time 5 seconds.
So we'd acquired some money from some legitimate business associates of mine, and then some people tried to mug us for it, because obviously this isn't the safest town in the world, and... basically, they brutally killed him, and then I incinerated them all with fireballs.
Oh, so you've already got revenge for him?
Yeah, that's why there was only those bones, and they were really scorched.
That's so brave of you, Daniel. But what I don't understand is
he got killed in a fireball, and then you killed his killers in a fireball.
No. They killed him before he didn't die of the fireball. He died of being stabbed.
I see. Okay,
and then. But they then were all standing you burnt there, his like, corpse. Stabbing him, and I exploded them repeatedly.
I see. I mean, we haven't had the lab report back yet, so no. I have no reason to doubt what you're saying.
Well, exactly. Well, Daniel, you have avenged my brother worthily, and I must thank you. I have one question, though.
Yeah.
Why was his body found washed up on the shores after having been... very incompetently weighted down and thrown in the sea.
Couldn't tell you.
It's one of those urban mysteries, isn't it?
Why didn't you tell anyone at the time? I just don't understand.
I'm going to put my hand on Daniel's shoulder because I can tell that he's upset and say, you did right by him, friend. You did your best for him, and how he got into the sea really isn't important. The important thing is he's at peace now.
He is.
And okay, I'm a little bit suspicious, even though I'm very drunk, I'm a little bit suspicious about why the body was washed up, why he didn't just say what happened. So, can I roll a perception thing to see if I think this is true?
It would be insight to tell whether or not Dan is lying.
Okay.
My deceive is...
So I'm going to roll.
22.
Okay, my insight total is 15.
Yeah, so you don't have any real reason to suspect that Dan is lying to you. Like, why would he lie to you? You've just met him. You you're fairly certain that he was in love with your half brother, and it doesn't make sense to you that he would lie about his death.
So I've let that kind of thought pass by. So it's come into my head, and I kind of thought, no, that's really unkind, and I feel bad about it. So I say, more drinks, and I go and get more drinks for us.
Okay, I'm just going to. I did manage to convince him to give me water. That's fine. I was going to pour it into a pot plant, but I don't need to. Actually, I would like to pour away my water. Dan made a good point.
Are you going to attempt to kill the pot plant?
Yes, I'm going to stealthily pour my brown water into a plant.
Make a sleight of hand roll.
7.
So you rather obviously pour your water just kind of onto the floor next to your chair. And several of the sort of other patrons in the establishment look at you.
I'd like to think I'm making eye contact with one of them.
Look at you in disgust as it looks like you've just poured your beer onto the floor.
Yes.
But luckily, Erdan is up at the bar ordering more drinks and therefore doesn't notice you do it.
Okay, so I'm going to just lean over to Daniel and say, do you think he's okay?
Nope.
He's, I can see why Gordon never mentioned him. Should we get the fuck out of here? I need to get back to the prayers.
Yeah.
Okay, so when Erdan returns to the table, I'm going to make my excuses.
Yep.
And I'm going to just cry a little bit.
I'm going to put my arm around you and say it's okay, Dan.
Okay, while they're doing that, I'm making an exit.
Okay, make a stealth roll, please, Dan.
Natural 20! Yes!
So while Graham and Erdan are hugging it out, you just vanish. Like, it's one of those kind of camera shots where there's, like, you standing next to them while they're hugging, and then it zooms in on them hugging, and then straight back out again, and you're just gone. There's no evidence that you've moved.
Yeah,
like a proper Batman exit.
Yeah, you're outside the pub, just kind of wandering down the street.
I've always thought that when Batman does that, I'd love to have the camera stay on him and just see him running off.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're free and clear, Dan. And awesome. Graham is still hugging her down at this point.
So I'm also going to
make arrangements to sell the muffin shop. I will actually be nice and sell it to some vegan fuckwit, but I'm selling it.
Oh, more boring admin for Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't want to do any more admin, and also I don't want to have any chance of running into Erdan in the shop.
How are you going to sell it, though? You know, what kind of legal process are you going
to
use?
I'm not proposing to do it immediately, but I've got legitimate business associates, they want fronts.
So you're just stood outside a pub shouting that you're going to sell a shop?
No.
Well, that's literally what you're doing.
No, I'm not.
So you, in which case, well, that's fine, we'll bear it in mind and we'll make sure that you...
I presume it's not worth fuck all, but...
put steps in motion to... Well, you know, it's waterfront property.
Oh, is it? Okay, fair enough.
I mean, it's on the docks.
It's an up-and-coming area.
Yeah.
It's very much...
It's the front wave of gentrification, isn't it?
The docks. Yeah. So it'll have value to somebody, and like you said, people always want fronts, so... We'll put something in motion for you to do that. But.
So I'm going to sense that Daniel is gone, and I'm secretly a little bit pleased because I saw that this T-1000 was a holy man, and I feel very vulnerable. And after we've had our little hug, I'm going to say all of this laddish drunkenness is just an act. And I'm so lost, and I don't know what to do. What should I do, oh great wise monk man?
And I'm going to say, there. It's okay, Erdan. We all have our defence mechanisms. I used to dedicate my life to hunting down and killing all of humanity. But I've seen the error of my ways, and... I can take you to a place where they teach you how to make one with your spirituality. And
but it won't work for me. I'm just too different to everyone else.
I thought that as well because I am a robot. But they took me in and I did quite a lot of sweeping for quite a long time. But they eventually let me in and they showed me that by giving up all of my material possessions, I could free myself. So I handed them all of my money, and I assume they did good work with it.
It won't work for me.
Okay, well, I'm going there now. Would you like to join me, or are you going to stay here with Nigel?
Can we... Oh, Nigel, Nigel, Nigel. Can we stop off on a few pubs on the way? Brandon the Crab gets very thirsty.
Yeah, yes, friend, I think that seems reasonable. Perhaps we could stop at a coffee shop and you could get some nice coffee.
Some weed, is that what you mean?
I suppose it's better than booze, yes. Yes, that
Hooray!
Would probably be fine. let's go and get you sobered up a little bit, friend.
Cool. And I'm going to sing... The boys are back in town really badly
and
on the way out.
I'm going to make apologetic nods to everybody in the pub as we as I'm ushering him towards the door. Are we having an intervention? I'm really worried.
So you wander out onto the streets. It's now about 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, it's getting late.
People are starting to arrive, you know, wander around the docks, working. A few sailors.
I'm going to bow to each one of them and say namaste.
Most of them regard you with disdain. Hmm. Some of them cross the street to avoid you.
Isn't he like a 7-foot tall half-orc?
No, I'm a T-800.
Okay. Well, aren't you still like 7-foot
robe.
Tall?
Yes.
No, no, he's... I mean, yeah, but...
I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in a robe.
Yeah,
so you were, like 7 foot tall.
But you were... Yeah. Were you... I actually remember when we started this, were you functionally human for the purposes...
No, I was half-orc, yes.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I couldn't remember.
If we're going to be nerds about it.
It doesn't say on your character sheet, it just says Cyberdyne Systems Model 101, which is unhelpful from my point of view.
Well, it's, it's more like an Adam problem than a Graham problem.
Yes, it very much is. So... As a consequence of this, you find that people tend to just avoid you in the streets, just cross the road, avert their eyes, you know, the usual kind of thing. So you're able to wander the docks relatively unhassled. And
that's all I ever dream of.
You make your way through the streets, you stop off a few places, a couple of taverns that you know, Erdan drags you into before you actually find your way.
And I've got friends in all of them, haven't I?
Yes. You, hey! I mean, whether you do or not, you're convinced that you do, and you know everybody, and you greet them all as if they're your best friends.
And I make a lot of apologies.
Are.
Even if they've never met you before, it doesn't matter.
Do you remember those two that I said looked like ghosts?
And... Eventually, you find your way to a nice coffee shop, and you're able to sit down. I'm surprised that you'd consent to consuming stimulants, but you know.
Okay, well, at the same time as we're waiting for the coffee, I'm going to do some speed.
I'm just going to have water. I just thought coffee might be a good thing to get into.
Okay,
Chris.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I just say I'm feeling a bit drunk, so yeah, I've done some speed.
And, okay, Chris, can you make a constitution saving throw for me?
This
please?
Will be fun, because I have a...
is he trying to
modifier?
Shit himself again?
dice.
Yes, dice.
they're hidden on my thing. Total of 6.
Oh, dear. You... just kind of after a few minutes just slump off your chair onto the floor and just lie there incapacitated.
All right, cool.
Okay, well,
it doesn't seem like a thing that you're particularly is particularly alien to you probably happens fairly regularly.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to sling him over my shoulder.
Okay, can you make a strength check, please?
10.
Yeah, it's a bit of a struggle, but you get him over your shoulder, and okay, you can carry him with relative ease.
I'm going to make my way towards my monastery.
Okay. Where is the monastery?
I mean, is there such a thing as a map that I could look at?
Yes, there is.
I say monastery. It's sort of a room above a shop, but they've got quite a lot of dream catchers and things in there.
Sounds good to me.
Is it like a discount monk supplies warehouse? So like just a shitload of orange robes and tuts?
No, I mean it's all done very tastefully. There's a lot of incense and stuff.
Okay. It's just all a massive scam.
No, right. How many times? It's not a scam.
It's a system.
It is. Look, all I need to do is recruit 50 more people, and then I get to go up to the next level.
Are any business interests involved in this scam?
No.
Okay. It's a shame.
No, generally speaking, it's not a good idea to get involved in religious affiliations.
Look, they told me they're going to provide salvation. I just need to recruit some more members. And as soon as I've done that, then I'll move up a level and I will be given some of my money back.
Okay. Well, that seems...
And it's fine. Predictable. And I don't want to have to go through this with you again, because everything is fine, all right?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not here, by the way, so I'm assuming
good.
This conversation in your head.
Okay. I was sort of assuming
I'm kind of wondering
like,
why is this guy is deranged. He's talking to himself.
Our good friend Gesh here has gone off to find his legitimate business partners and to try and flog them the idea of running a vegan cafe.
I found a map. Found a map. It's in the castle ward. Is that
okay.
That's a thing? It's
somewhere
fine. In there. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine. There's like there's a big market in the castle ward. And
yeah,
there's a lot of shops.
It's near the market. It's on. I can't read any words. It's too small.
That's fine.
Text is small.
That's fine. It's down. I get the impression it's probably down a side street.
Yes. Yeah, just off the market.
Yeah. Which is absolutely fine. So it's quite a trek from the docks, but you know you'd already made it quite a lot of the way before you made it to the coffee shop and had to start carrying Erdan.
Yeah.
And it's not a common sight, but it's not that uncommon to see someone dragging a unconscious person around this early in the morning. It's the kind of thing that might arouse the suspicion of a particularly zealous guard, but most of them aren't going to bother you.
I'm just saying namaste to everybody so they know that I'm fine.
Okay. Yeah, and you make your way to your monastery. And it's room above the shop. And presumably you have some form of lodgings here.
I mean, there's a series of mattress in a room. And if you're sort of allowed to have one if it's unoccupied. Unless any of the higher level monks come and tell you that you have to get out.
Okay.
But that's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, they're higher level than you.
Yeah, exactly. It's fine.
I mean, you're not even a level one monk yet.
No, I am level one. You go in at level one.
Are you sure?
We've established you're
well,
not
it's not actually...
One.
Yeah, I mean, they call themselves monks. But there's a technicality that we can't actually be the class of being monks. There's this whole bureaucracy. We're better off outside of that system.
Yeah, it's...
But yeah, we are,
the freedom
to all intents and purposes,
done,
we
yeah.
are monks.
Fair enough.
Okay, it says Garanga on the side of the building. I mean, what more do you want, for fuck's sake?
Yeah, fair.
Okay. So, yeah, you make your way up to your mattress.
I might start to come round now, because...
Make another constitution saving throw.
10.
Yeah, you slowly regain consciousness, and all you can see is sort of dusty floorboards and a couple of dirty mattresses and somebody's arse.
Crack then. Awesome.
And Graham, you kind of feel Chris stirring over your shoulder.
Oh, Erdan, don't wake, my friend. I'm just gonna put you here, and you can have some holy rest, and we can talk about your soul in the morning.
I mean, it's technically the morning.
So. Okay, yeah. Well, afternoon. I think you're going to love it here, and I'd love you to join. I'd love you to.
What about Brandon?
I don't know.
He needs saving from all the itchiness.
I assume he followed us. I don't know.
Yes, yeah, he will. He will follow Dan, regardless of his state
like
of consciousness.
A horror movie protagonist or something.
Sorry, what, Daniel? Who isn't here?
Yeah.
No, it's his companion. He's magically bonded with Brandon, and Brandon will follow him anywhere.
Yeah.
And under normal circumstances, if Graham hadn't been there to help him, he would have dragged him home.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Like
would have carried him all the way across the fucking city if I'd known that.
Right, so what now?
Okay, well,
am I awake now?
No. Yes, you're conscious.
Yes, but right. I'm tucking you up in bed.
I say boring. Let's not go to sleep.
Come on, Erdan.
Let's go and have a fight. Fight.
You need to renounce violence.
No.
Violence just hurts your soul. It doesn't hurt other people. I mean, it does objectively hurt other people, granted.
What a boring robot. Let's go and have a fight.
Okay, I'm now going to help him go to sleep with a swift punch to the back of the head.
Yes.
Okay, make an attack roll.
I'm not attacking him.
It is. Make an unarmed attack roll.
Okay.
Please.
Which
would be d20 plus your strength.
It says I've got plus 6, so that's 13.
It wouldn't be for punching. Says, are you proficient in punching? Are you proficient
and unarmed? I don't know. I just put it all into the app, and it told me it was plus 6.
You must be.
Because I'm massive, aren't I? I'm a half orc.
Yeah, but you've got plus 2 strength, plus 3 proficiency bonus, and that would be it. So plus 5.
It should be plus. Oh, it's plus 3 strength. I didn't add the thing on because it's 16 now.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So, in which case, if you are proficient in unarmed combat, then yes,
yeah.
It would be plus.
Well, the app told me I am, so I'm gonna believe
let's
that.
Go with that. Ooh, so, yeah, it is.
Okay, it's 19.
Though. Okay, Chris.
My armor class is 19.
Oh.
However, have you got your shield equipped?
Yeah, always. I cuddle it like a teddy bear because I'm very nervous since my brother got killed.
So Graham, you swing a punch at Erdan's face, but he squeals and just pulls a shield up over his face, and you punch his shield instead.
Okay, I'm going to say.
So
I'm sorry, friend. I'm sorry, friend. I shouldn't have done that. I don't. I shouldn't. They keep telling me to renounce these violence. It's just my first instinct. I'm so sorry, and I'm going to start flagellating myself.
The red mist has descended, and I am going to try and
punch himself.
Stab him with my rapier.
Okay, make an attack roll, please.
With my attack bonus is 17.
As Graham has armor class of 13 because he no longer has any armor because he gave it away. That is a hit.
Okay.
Ow!
I'm going to roll for
damage.
Sorry,
friend. I deserved that. I deserved that. That's fine. I'm sorry.
So I attack with 1d8 plus 3, which is 8.
Okay.
And I have an extra attack, so I'm going to stab him again.
Okay. Make the attack roll again.
I
love that I've somehow introduced 15? Chris to killing.
That's the hit again.
Killing party members.
And I'm gonna and does 9 damage this time.
Okay.
Okay. So
and we didn't really
point...
establish the rules of what I could, what I was allowed to do with Brandon. Are we going to be really, really fully on the line, and that I can only attack with him by using my attack stuff?
Yeah. We'll follow the rules.
okay.
from the player's handbook.
But
so
I can shout, Brandon, distract him, so that then Graham rolls with disadvantage. Yeah?
Yes, you can.
And I roll attack with advantage, is that right?
No, you don't get both.
Okay.
But at this point, with the shouting and the screaming, a number, half a dozen or so monks come running into the room. One of them is... Most of them are wearing basically exactly the same as Graham. One of them is wearing a clearly much more ornate robe with sort of jewels and...
Oh, Brother Roland! Brother Roland, I'm so sorry, I've done this again, Brother Roland!
And he comes charging in and... What is
People's
the meaning of this?
People's elbows him!
What is the meaning of this? There is to be no violence.
I'm
going to
say, this guy attacked me, and I was acting in self-defence. And if you don't let me leave right now, I'm going to sue you and all your other monks, because this guy has done me wrong.
Brother Graham, is this true?
It is, Brother Roland. I'm so sorry. I slipped again. I can't help my natural way. I'm so sorry. I try and keep it within me, but I can't. I was trying to help him.
Before about this
no,
behavior.
Please, Brother Roland. Please. No, give me one more second chance. Please.
He says, I'm sorry, Brother Graham, but you can no longer remain here.
No! Okay, can I have all of my money back, please?
No.
Oh.
Please collect your rags and leave.
Oh, shit.
And he turns to Erdan. My apologies for the behaviour of my former brother. We do our best here to remove their violence and dependency on physical possessions. But there is only so much that we can do. Please accept my apologies.
Note to self, mug Brother Roland for his robe.
And I would say, sure thing, big monk man. I'd really like to go, though. I'm getting rather thirsty.
No, please. You're free to leave whenever you wish.
Okay, and I'm going to kind of waddle on off.
And they're just going to stand there looking very disappointed at Graham as he...
But I'm going to wait outside because I think I quite like this guy and I want to take him for a drink.
I'm going to hang my head and walk slowly towards the door with the sad Charlie Brown piano music playing.
Okay.
And when he gets there, I'm going to say, all right, mate, shall we go and get a pint?
Oh, I've lost everything. I know it's not your fault, Brother Erdan. It's not your fault. I'm such a
stupid
twat.
Was he allowed to
keep
his robe?
No, he's in rags.
He's in rags now. He had to return his robe and is now just in rags.
Oh, fuck everything, Adam. That's going to get pissed.
Hooray!
Oh, character development. Okay, and we will call it there. So, as it stands... Dan is currently off doing some tedious admin, trying to sell a shop. But trying to sell it to criminals. So
well, I'm not
at least
fixated on selling it to criminals. It's more that I just don't want to ever run into Erdan. Thus, I have to sell the shop.
Also, you don't want to run a cafe.
Yeah, that too.
So you are currently pitching the idea to your associates that maybe they would want to... run a vegan cafe at the docks as a front for criminal activity.
Mm-hmm.
Graham and Erdan are getting fucked in the nearest pub.
Hooray! It was very hard work to engineer this night out, but I managed it.
You win.
I win. Yeah.
So, we will leave it there.
Cool.
And we will continue once Gemma is of sound body again. And then we can do it proper. But we've now successfully introduced Erdan into the
I think he
bar.
Is
and he's
be
ruined
a
my life.
Well, no one died, so, you know, we're
I was
going to
say, technically, I think Dan wins on the ruining life
well, yeah,
scale
I guess
of things.
So, yeah.
I didn't ruin his life, I ended it. There's a difference.
True, could be seen as a mercy killing.
Yeah,
the thing about Erdan is he just makes stuff happen.
Just as an incentive for you guys, my backup character is a lawful good halfling druid, so he'll be lovely
God,
and jolly and
dickhead.
Also probably quite drunk, so, you know.
Right.
So, when I was listening today, I was thinking that basically, Dan, you euthanized Chris.
Yeah.
You just happened to do so with fire, which is not, you know...
It's not the dignitas way, but...
But, yeah, I mean, you can't question his methods because he gets results.
Yeah, very fair.
Mm.
So, Chris, did I sort out money for you?
Yeah, because we said, like, I'd got, like, a fairly wealthy... parent, but
yeah.
I was like a drunk student, so they kind of bail me out now and again, but I just waste it on money. I waste it on booze.
Yeah. Dan is obviously fucking loaded because he had all the money that he made from his criminal activities, plus all the gold, the 100 gold pieces that he found from Gemma and 50 that he retrieved from Chris after they'd split it and he killed him, and then all the money that Gordon had on him at the time, which was like another 300 gold. So my guess is, Dan, you've got somewhere around 800 or 900 gold pieces.
I've only got 700 on the sheet. I wonder if I missed some.
Okay. No, I mean that's
no.
That
yeah, to be
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Graham obviously is penniless and has rags,
but he has got a new top friend who's always going to be there to buy him a drink.
Which is great, and now all you need to do is also find yourself some clothes and a weapon.
I got some clothes. You can come
is
and live
the
way in my dorm room.
Too.
I'm sure everything
come live in my
will
dorm
work
room.
Out fine for me.
Yeah.
Graham gave away everything, all earthly possessions. That was how the
dorm
how
room, dorm room. Come and live in my
no,
dorm room.
Project Rob
dorm
the Guy
room,
with Julie
dorm
Road
room.
Is very much a go.
Well, I've forgiven him.
I don't. It's not a punishment, robbing. It's just he clearly has a lot of money.
Okay,
and
well, that's fine. I forgive you, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care, but, you know.
Excellent. So, as is kind of the necessity with this, none of you get any XP, because
I did some awesome stabbing.
You did do some very good stabbing, Chris. I'm very proud
surely
of you.
Surely that's worth one XP.
No, because if I start giving you different amounts of XP, it's really fucking hard to track.
Also, don't I get some inspiration? Because I've definitely played my character exactly as I wrote it down.
Should get some inspiration for murdering you, then?
No, that was completely
really,
against what you were meant to be doing.
Well, he was... I mean, yeah, you were lawful evil, and really, that means you're supposed to follow some kind of, like, internally consistent moral code.
Oh, was, right. he, was Dan always evil?
Fuck you, got mine.
Yeah, he was lawful evil.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I've been evil from the start.
Oh. Yeah, then you were playing it really badly before.
I literally slit a guy's throat for the sheer hell of it.
But you also just went and did some work for him and tried to get a job.
He even got to pay the bills too.
Yeah.
It's fair.
I think so, bureaucracy is probably the greatest evil of the world.
Well,
so.
That's true.
Yeah,
enough,
so
yeah.
Chris, for the start of next session, you can have... Oh, fuck. An inspiration point.
Hooray! What do I do with an inspiration point?
So you can basically spend the inspiration point to re-roll a roll.
Oh, okay.
So it means that if you, like, just totally fuck everything up...
So, like, if you're trying to do a death-saving roll and you got a 1, could you use... Oh, that'd be handy, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would have been
so
really
you basically, you spend it as a re-roll to so any... But then it's gone. And it only persists for the session anyway. So if you don't use it next session, it will.
Oh, I'd best use it up next time, then.
Yeah, the idea with inspiration is that you get it semi-regularly for good role-playing or particularly, you know, good thing, and then you spend it kind of fairly freely rather than kind of having to try to save it for, like, something important. The idea is just to use it when you feel like it would be better for you to potentially get a better role. Obviously, if you do re-roll it, you do have to take the re-roll, even if it's worse.
So,
but.
Okay. So, what are our thoughts on what our characters are? I mean, presumably, everybody loves Erdan. He is just a total lad, full-on blokey lad, just great. Does everyone think so? I think he's going to be a fan favourite.
Well, I'm going to be very depressed now because Erdan has cost me my chance of becoming a level 18 monk. Well, not monk, okay. But...
I think perhaps if you were genuinely interested in being a monk, you might have done some monk classes at the night class.
No, because they're not monks.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing about
that. Yeah, so you're not... Yeah.
It's not me that's not serious about it. They are serious. They're just waiting for the...
accreditation.
Yeah, exactly.
That's bureaucracy again, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I am glad that I've broken the spell of you being a very boring, pious monk. No, glad I cracked
well,
that.
Well, but you've just made me a depressed Terminator dressed in rags. I don't know if that's better.
I think that's slightly better.
Well, I suppose... Dungeons and Dickheads is a Two Star Productions production for Two Star Podcast. If you like this, tell your friends and send us a message on Twitter at Two Star Podcast with the word two, not number two, because they are fuckers and they must be brought down. Maybe that's a bit strong. Maybe they could just go away. Anyway, thanks for listening.